Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Podcast Daily. It is Thursday, and I don't know what kind of Thursday it is because we're not going to see any practice and we don't know for sure who we're going to talk to afterwards, but this is the Podcast Daily.
It's we know we're going to talk to Brian Hartline and Tim Walton.
We do know that. All right, we got a couple coaches, so we can ask some questions for them. That's Bill Landis and Jeremy Birmingham. I'm Austin Ward. Practice number four for Ohio State on the heels of Pro Day. What are we going to do on Thursday, Bill?
Beg to watch practice and then get denied.
Okay.
And then,
I already did that on Wednesday.
And talk to some people afterwards. No, I want to learn a little more about this nickel position, I think, behind Jordan Hancock, obviously. Like, and maybe that is more of a 2025, you know, thought process than it is 2024, but it's spring. I think we can look ahead a little bit if we want to. I think this is a time of year where guys at least start to make moves for like the year beyond if you're not in a starting position. And it's really unclear to me because it kind of just feels like they're running everybody through and say, like, hey, does this guy look okay playing in the slot? Like, we've seen Jermaine Matthews there, Lorenzo Styles there. I don't think we've seen Davis Nigbinosun there, but I would like to ask Tim Walton a little bit and whichever players we might get to talk to about how that is shaping up, because you want to feel good about the depth, one, but also with an eye toward next season. I'm kind of curious where that's going to go.
I asked for Jermaine Matthews to be available on Thursday, and I think he will be. So, spoiler alert, I'll be writing and talking and thinking a lot more about him and what this means.
Your main man.
My main man, according to the thumbnail that you created last week. Very, very creative.
Thank you.
How this spring looks for him, it's probably, again, going to be too early for Tim Walton to say one thing or the other. Thursday morning will be the fourth practice of spring, the second one in pads. The coaching staff has gone out of their way to say, oh, they haven't really done anything yet. So I expect that will continue with the conversation with Jermaine Matthews. And certainly at this point in spring, they're not going to be like, well, he's jumping in there with Davis and Nigbinosun and Denzel Burke and all that. So I don't expect that. But what maybe sort of the offseason conversation was like with his role and the physical goals that he was trying to accomplish in winter workouts, what that all means for him. So Tim Walton is usually pretty good about all that stuff. And I think that he's one of the more intriguing figures in the secondary for me at this point.
I'd be curious if they consider him a quasi-starter, as you know, we've talked about, is the way that you can rotate those top three corners, and that's not including Jordan Hancock, obviously. I wonder if he's in that conversation. One thing that we'll hear a lot about on Thursday that I'm not sure we need to hear a lot about is Jeremiah Smith, but I bet you there will be a lot of conversation.
I bet there's at least one question asked about him.
And what's the over-under? How many do you think there'll be?
Well, every single person we talk to will get asked about him. So
how many do you think Brian Hartline will field that are Jeremiah Smith related?
Four.
Oh, I'm taking the over.
Over?
Yeah. I mean, it depends. It could just be one extended conversation, and that's the only portion of the program where he talks about it. But I think what we will see is Brian Hartline likely try to throw some cold water on the expectations around him. Will that actually work? I don't know. But I would imagine he's not going to come out and praise him in the way that will remind people of Marvin Harrison or Chris Olave or anyone like that. But more than that, I really do want to know where Brian Hartline sees Jaden Ballard right now and what is that role? And is there still a space for him in this rotation? Because listening to Ryan Day on Tuesday, the way he talked about Carnell Tate, the way he talked about Bryson Rogers, Brandon Ennis, like Jaden Ballard's name was brought up in as much like to say, well, we need to see more from him. He needs to make his move. And I'm really interested if he's close to doing that in Brian Hartline's mind, because the truth is Jaden Ballard brings a different element to the wide receiver room than anyone else does. And it's something that Ohio State could probably use. Watching Devin Brown and Will Howard on Wednesday throw the ball, like they both threw a pretty nice deep ball. They're a little inconsistent in the intermediate stuff. So the more I think about it, I'm like, how about you just put the fastest guy out there and see what he can do?
Take shots.
But I'm interested to see how Brian Hartline couches the conversation around his wide receivers, because there's nothing about those guys that we really have any proof of concept other than Emeka Ibuka. It is very, very weird at wide receiver.
That's what I don't really know how to get at this. And I think if I ask Brian Hartline the question, he might find it like disrespectful, but.
Well, sometimes that's when you get the best answers from Brian Hartline.
When's the last time the defensive
just
backs
take
were
a
better
shot
than,
at him?
When's the last time the defensive backs were better than the receivers here?
2017.
Yeah, like 2017, 2018, 19.
2017.
Like it's been a while, right?
I don't think 2018.
It was close. I mean,
16 maybe?
16. Oh, yeah. Six, like, with the, yeah
I think 16.
Marshawn, Denzel Ward. Right?
Yeah.
So, but I mean, that's almost a decade ago at this point, right? And it's not that the secondary has always been bad in those years. It's just like the thing that we've talked about the most with Ohio State really since Ryan Day has been here. It's like quarterbacks and receivers. And I don't have concerns about quarterback or receiver, but as Berm said, there's like not a whole lot of known commodities at the receiver position aside from Emeka Ogbuka. And while like I think Emeka is very good, he doesn't have the same
gravitas
is like a Marvin or a Garrett or a Chris Olave. Like it's just a little bit of a different vibe.
You're not looking at him and going, that's a guaranteed top 10 pick.
Yeah. He's a guaranteed like first round pick, but not a top 10 pick. Right. So, and it's just like a little bit of a different vibe because you look at the secondary and while there's not a ton of like first, like surefire first round corners, like they were awesome last year. And I think they're going to be very good again this year. And it feels like we're getting back to the days of BIA when Ohio State did have the best cornerbacks in the country, at least a group that should be in the conversation. And I'm just wondering like how that sets the tone for practice. Right. I think maybe the best person to ask, but that's probably Denzel Burke. We're not going to talk to him on Thursday, but I'm like, maybe some guys that have been around a little bit, maybe, you know, that have been on the other side of that dynamic, like just how that changes things when the defensive backs are at the very least, like certainly up to the challenge of going up against these receivers. And maybe in other springs, it hasn't always been that way.
I would bet you if you asked Davis and Igbinosin, and he is on the short list of guys we're expecting to talk to. Yeah. I bet you'd get a similar answer out of him. Or even Jermaine Matthews, who is never shy of confidence.
Yeah. He's like Denzel Light. Yeah.
But the difference for that would be Jermaine has only gone through it for 1 year, and Denzel has lived through some of this. And I think he did talk about it coming into the start of spring. It's like the wide receivers used to have their way with practice. And like that made us better, but it was also frustrating. And was that after the first practice of spring? He's like, yeah, they had a good day. And we bounced back and got back on tape. Yeah. So, like, Denzel would be pretty interesting on that. I wonder, do you guys think that Brian Hartline will try and throw some of that cold water that you're talking about, Berm, on the Brandon Ennis conversation on the heels of what Ryan Day said on Tuesday? Or where do you think the momentum meter would be for Brandon Ennis in Brian Hartline's eyes?
I think it's swinging in the right direction. The thing about Brandon Ennis, and this is not, I'm not saying this is not the case for Jeremiah Smith. We just don't know. Like, I know Brandon Ennis is in here working his ass off every single practice and every single workout. Like, the kid is, and Ryan Day, that's what he kept talking about on Tuesday. Like, he's a fierce competitor. That is who he is. I told you that when we were in Miami a year and a half ago watching a 7-on-7. Like, that kid is the most competitive wide receiver I've ever seen in covering recruiting. Like, he wants to go every single rep 1,000 miles an hour. And I know that at least in that way, Brian Hartline is going to praise him. Now, does that mean he's ready to be an every down guy at Ohio State? I don't know. Maybe. I mean, he's changed his body. He looks, but Brian Hartline's never the one to heap praise on people unnecessarily, but I'm confident he will praise the things about Brandon Ennis that everyone sees because they are the things that lead to a room being better. And it's not just how he is between the white lines.
You think he'll throw some of that more gas on the fire?
I actually think he will. Cause I don't, he does try to like temper expectations for sure when we all come in and like tell us about the new shiny guy in your room, right? But I think after they've been in the program for a year and like have the work ethic that Brandon appears to have and Carnell Tate too, because I don't think Brian Hartline try to throw cold water on the Carnell Tate stuff last year. I think at a certain point you have to like be honest and respect the work ethic, right? And it's not, you don't have to crown the guy, but I think you can have an honest conversation about where he is. So I actually do think I don't know if he'll fan the flames and like feed into it even more, but I don't think he'll shy away from it in a way that's like just gets us to like try to temper our expectations.
I think he did a little bit with Carnell last spring because it's like, you guys fall for this every year is sort of what he would say afterwards. It was like,
that does sound like something he would say.
Like, you always, you get one thing and you see, and you don't know, you don't have the full picture and you guys get obsessed with one person.
This is a good impression of
Well, there's other words. These are some of the things that you might hear when he's not sitting down at the microphone, when he will only just roll his eyes and then say, he's working hard and I'm trying to make him an all-around receiver.
This is spawning a new game, though. It's gas him up or drown him out. Like, which way will the coach go today? Will he gas him up or drown him out?
You can gas somebody up and it wouldn't be a positive either. So I'm not sure if that's the game anyone wants to play. We'll workshop it.
You think he'll poo-poo the Brandon Ennis hype a little bit?
I suspect he will a little bit. Mm-hmm. If only to counterbalance, like, well, Ryan Day's already given the positive quotes. I need to temper this a little bit because he can say all those things about the work ethic, which I think he will. I'm not saying that Brian Hartline would go out of his way to
He's not shanking him.
Obfuscate the truth. Like, if Brandon Ennis is working hard, and we've seen that even with some of the stuff that he's been doing on the Monarch and the drive and all that, the clear development of his body that's, like, undeniable, Brian Hartline wouldn't deny any of that's going on. I think he might say, well, there's Austin the other day said he's going to be the starting slot receiver based off what Ryan Day said, and I feel like that off the offseason, he might be like, well, there's still a lot of work to do, and Emeka's there, and we're weighing our options. I think that might be more the way he goes. It's just, especially in spring, I don't think Brian Hartline, and with the makeup that you guys both alluded to, where it's so unproven outside of Emeka, that he's not going to say, well, this is definitely going to be the best wide receivers group in the country because Brandon Ennis is doing that and Jeremiah Smith is here and Jaden Ballard's taking the next step. Like, I think that would be out of character for Brian Hartline to do that.
I'm shaking my head at Channel 10's Adam King, who is gleeful that CJ Stroud is still walking back here because he's been waiting to try to get an interview with him. And it's coming to fruition for Adam. And
that is CJ Stroud still here and hanging out with Ohio State's current batch of quarterbacks. I did not know that CJ would be coming.
Yeah.
By the way, we are recording this on Wednesday during Friday. What? Yeah, I know. It's a rare change. We don't normally do it this way, but CJ's still in the facility, and that's pretty cool that he's coming back 1 year later. He doesn't have to do that.
No. It never really – we had this conversation last year. Like, never ceases to amaze me how the – like. I'm sure at a lot of programs, guys come back. Like does the guy who might be the best quarterback in the NFL in 3 years come back? Like, that's the kind of stuff that always surprises me. Like,
in 3 years?
And he loves it.
Well, you know, he's already the best quarterback in the NFL.
And he loves it. And that's he's here the entire day on the sideline talking to every single person in the building. And when Pro Day ends on Wednesday, everyone in the media runs over with their cameras to get...
Not everyone, not us.
Nearly everyone in the media runs over to put a camera in his face to do an interview, and CJ says, stop. Maybe I'll talk to you guys later, but go interview the guys that just did the workouts. I'm like, that is so rare on so many levels that it really is worth reminding people of how awesome CJ Stroud is.
I just wanted to know how he chose Tops over Panini, Bill.
Yeah, I would like to know that too, because I'd like to get some CJ Stroud autographs if I could, but I guess not.
Not today.
Isn't his agent guy like the owner of Fanatics or something?
No,
you're or like a friend of Fanatics, or like
involved? He is tight with Michael Rubin, who does own Fanatics.
That's what I'm saying.
Berm had some of the pieces. He just didn't know how they fit together.
I don't believe in all the pieces.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm a big fan of just
some
pieces.
Anything else you think that we can learn on Thursday?
I think we're going to learn a little bit more about the development of Devin Brown versus Will Howard. I think people will have we're going to talk to wide receivers and defensive backs. Like, if there's two groups that will have a true understanding of how they've each gotten better since the first practice 3 weeks ago, like, that would be the groups, those would be the groups to have that information. So I imagine we'll hear a little bit about that. I again, no Denzel Burke expected, so we won't get like
the true
full appraisal.
Yeah.
But I do think that those guys will have a lot to say about it. And especially the guys like Emeka Ebuka, who, like, this is, he's sort of putting all of his faith in these guys to be what Ohio State needs them to be. So I think that's probably, you know, I'm all about quarterbacks always. So that's probably like the subplot of the day. Like, what are these guys saying about the quarterbacks?
What did you think what did your eyes tell you on Wednesday, Pro Day, when they got to throw?
On Wednesday, it felt like Will Howard was a little more consistent throwing the ball than Devin Brown, especially in the intermediate stuff. But Devin Brown, and we said it last year, like, his best game is down the field. And you saw the two throws he made in the 2023 season that were like memorable throws, were like deep shots. And wow, that's a pretty ball. Devin has a tendency to like not take anything off the ball.
He gets a little juiced up.
I think today he wanted to show the arm strength to everyone.
He's always throwing the fastball, and I don't know that that's always necessary, but he looks comfortable. He looks confident. And I thought that Will Howard, the first time really seeing the release, it's a little bit weird. It's got a touch of a spin to it almost in some way. So maybe that
he really
was just,
gets like his whole upper half.
Yeah. Kind of into it. So, I mean, that's the first real chance we've had to see those guys throw. They only threw it probably 25 times each or something like that. So it wasn't their workout. So it's not like we're going to see all the throws all over the field. It was really designed for the wide receivers and tight ends. But pretty interesting. I don't know that I see a clear separation on Wednesday, but I'm not. I suppose again, the script wasn't really going to allow that.
I think you see a difference in arm strength, but that doesn't necessarily mean a whole lot, right? It's
Yeah, but Devin's getting more velocity.
The ball jumps off his more MPH a little differently. Yeah.
He did. He was really throwing it hard. And I don't think anyone's surprised at that. We talked about him adding more upper body strength, and we know he's never lacked for confidence. So he wanted to throw it as hard as possible. And a lot of times he was doing that. I think that's the next step when we're talking about Devin Brown finding consistent accuracy. It may be the ability to go off speed a little bit at times if you need to. And again, that is us reading way too much into a little bit of information. And we always are going to do that when we have an opportunity to watch them. But they both threw really good deep balls. And I was impressed with that with Will Howard on Wednesday, because he had more opportunities, it felt like, in that script to do it. And from the first Tuesday and Thursday of spring camp, when we got the open windows, we didn't really see that much from him. So like, okay, he can do that. And but it doesn't mean anyone's going to win or lose the job.
Right. You can't put much stock into that either. But I remember it was, 3 years ago now, 2021, summer 2021, after a recruiting camp in here, when we watched CJ Stroud throwing the ball for the first time, really. And he was in here just like laser beams down the field. Him and Kyle McCord were going back and forth. It was like 5 o'clock in the afternoon. We're like, oh my gosh, like this is different than we were led to believe.
Yeah.
And so you can glean something. It's maybe not going to tell you who's going to handle third and seven better,
but
you can get a sense of just what it looks like when a guy drops back and throws and not to his fullback like Will had to at Kansas State.
All right. So we'll see what more we hear about that from Ohio State players later on Thursday morning. We'll have some snappy Jays and a lot more coverage for the rest of this week as the Buckeyes get through practice number 4 and get ready for, I think, some element of scrimmaging on Saturday. We won't get to watch that either, but we'll still talk about the Buckeyes no matter what. That's Bill Landis and Jeremy Birmingham. I'm Austin Ward. Thanks for joining us for the podcast daily. We'll talk to you later.